Psalm 23, we have come to the middle of verse 5. Last Sunday night, we looked at the top of verse 5. Thou preparest a table before me in the presence of my enemies. This morning, we're going to look at the middle of verse 5, and I'm just going to deal with this one phrase this morning. Thou anointest my head with oil. Now, remember where we're at in this psalm. You remember that this psalm depicts a year in the life of a shepherd and a sheep. And if you remember, in the summer months, in the early summer and early fall months, when the heat is the hottest, is when the shepherd will take his sheep and lead them away from the lowlands and lead them to what we call the tablelands or the meadows on the hills. And the reason he does that is because it's cooler there, and also there'll be dew on the grass in the mornings, which also helps the sheep with their thirst as well as their hunger. And you remember last Sunday night we looked and saw how the shepherd meticulously goes before he ever takes the sheep there and prepares the land for them. He prepares it through removing serpents, through removing prey-eating animals, removing weeds that can be toxic to the sheep or whatever it may be. And when we come to the middle of verse 5, we find that they are now resting in those tablelands, those meadows on the hilltop. But in resting in those meadows on the hilltop, how many of you agree today that even when you reach your spiritual mountaintops in your life, you can still have turmoil? You can still have resistance. You can still have struggles internally, physically, but more importantly, spiritually. And you say, what do you mean by that? Well, because there's something about us that is still true about us even after God saved us. And you say, what is that? Well, you still have that old flesh about you. And I still have that old flesh about me. And because that flesh is self-centered in its nature, it's very easy for that self-centered nature to rear its head from time to time. And so what we find here is we find the sheep resting in the meadows of the hilltops. We find the shepherd is providing everything for the sheep that they need. But then we find that there's other enemies that can come against the sheep. Enemies that the shepherd could not prepare for before taking them up there. Enemies that can very much do harm to the sheep, but enemies in which the shepherd is prepared to deal with when they arise. And he deals with it through the anointing of oil. Now, y'all know usually when I've went through these phrases with you, I've dealt with the backdrop and how it relates to shepherd and sheep first. Today, I want to deal first with just a little bit of understanding of what is this anointing and what does it mean to you and I. Now, here's the thing you and I need to understand. We need to understand the source that releases the anointing. Look at this passage with me again. It says, the Bible says in this verse, thou anointest my head with oil. So in other words, David here speaking as if he was a sheep. Now remember, David used to be a shepherd, so he knew all these truths. He knew everything there was about a shepherd and a sheep and their relationship. And now David speaking as a sheep, Yahweh, Jehovah God, being his shepherd. And he speaks in that way, and he says, thou, speaking, God, you anointest my head with oil. And so the first thing I need you to see is the person, that the anointing is a person. This is not a thing. It's not something that God attaches to you when you receive Christ. Listen, when you receive Christ, you receive the anointing. The anointing, oil, is mentioned over 200 times in Scripture, and it pictures the person of the Holy Spirit. Now, I hear people all the time, they'll make phrases, or they'll make statements about the Holy Spirit as if he was not a person. I got news for you. The Holy Spirit is a person, and when God saved you, you received the person of the Holy Spirit. And this person of the Holy Spirit is your anointing. Now you say, well, what is anointing? Well, anointing's a person, but anointing has to do with God enabling you for whatever he asks of you or whatever he wants to do through you.
And so, in other words, when God saved you, you received the person of the Holy Spirit, and receiving the person of the Holy Spirit, I got good news for you. You never have to ask for God to enable you to do something God's called you to do, because if God's called you to do, He's already gave you the Holy Spirit to enable you to do it. So, in other words, God doesn't need your ability, He needs your availability. And so, what we need to understand here is this anointing is the person. The Bible calls the Spirit of God the Spirit of life in Romans 8:2. The Spirit of God in Ephesians 4:30. The Spirit of Christ in 1 Peter 1:11. The Spirit of truth in John 14:17. The Spirit of grace in Zechariah 12:10. The Spirit of power in Acts 1:8. And the Spirit of holiness in Romans 1:4. Can I tell you today, when you receive the Spirit of Christ, you receive everything.
Yeah, right.
So this is what the anointing is. Now, I want you to see a second aspect, the possession of anointing. You say, what do you mean? Well, as I said, if you've received the Spirit of God, you've received the anointing of God. Now you say, well, wait a minute. I've grown up in church all my life, and all I've ever heard is people praying, God, would you give him the anointing? Would you anoint him? Would you give him the anointing? Well, I got news for you. You already have it if you're saved. Now you say, you can't biblically prove that. I can. You ask some good questions, though. Y'all say amen. You say, where do you biblically prove that at? Well, I'm glad you asked. It's found in 1 John chapter 2, verse 27. But the anointing which you have received. Now, who's John writing to? The church. He's writing to these believers that have been confused by Gnosticism, and these Gnostics were trying to tell them that, hey, Jesus is not God, and you can live in sin and it be okay. And John's exposing all that error, and in John exposing all that error, he reminds them of this truth. But the anointing which you have received of him abideth where? In you. How can the anointing abide with me? Because listen, when God saved you, it's Christ in you, the hope of glory. Jesus said these words to the disciples before he went to Calvary. He said, as the Father was in me, and I am in the Father, I will be in you, and you in me. Can I tell you today, when God saved you, here's what took place. A great transaction took place. Willie, here's what took place just a minute ago. A great transaction took place. And here's what it is. He placed you in the Son, and the Son's in the Father. He took the Son out of heaven through the Holy Spirit, placed it in you. And right now, you have the anointing of God because you have the Christ. You have the Spirit of God, and you have the Son of God. And you've become the tabernacle of a holy God. You see, this is the glory of salvation. And so I don't have to pray for God to anoint me. But here's what I need to pray. Even though I possess it, I've got to appropriate it. You say, what do you mean appropriate it? I've got to trust Him in it. So here's what I pray. Not God give me, but God, would you manifest what you've already given me? Would you manifest your anointing through me? You see, one is asking God for what He has already done. That's unbelief. The other is trusting Him that He gave you what He said He gave you. That's faith. See, faith is nothing more, nothing less than this: saying thank you. You remember when the Lord fed the multitude? We say 5,000. It was 5,000 men plus women and children. So I say the multitude. You know when the Lord fed the multitude? What did the Lord do? I mean, he had loaves and a couple of fishes. Remember? What did He do? Did He lift it up and say, Lord, Father, would you please multiply this? Would you give us food where we don't have no food? Is that what He said? What did He say? He said, thank you. Because the Father had already spoke to Him. He already knew what God was going to do. And so faith just says thank you. So see, here's the reality of it. Possessing the anointing is what you received when God saved you. Amen. Now just thank Him for it. And appropriate it by faith and walk in it. Amen? And so in other words, whatever God calls you to do, He's already enabled you to do it. Now, let me show you now. We'll go back to the historical backdrop. I want you to show the situation that requires anointing. There's three things that come up on a sheep in the summer months that the shepherd cannot prepare for as far as protecting them from. And you say, what are those three things? Well, I've gave some titles to them. The first one's called what I call personal infirmities. Now, more in the practical, historical setting of this, Here's what it is. In the summer months, how many agree flies are very, very prominent in summer? And so flies can be very harmful to sheep. Now, in the Middle East and in those places, there's a form of fly that's a very small fly. And this small fly is very, very prominent with animals, and especially sheep. And what happens is this fly will fly in around the sheep's head. And when he gets around the sheep's head, he'll find his way inside the sheep's nasal cavities. And when he gets inside the nasal cavities, what he'll do is he'll find a place in the membranes of his nasal cavities, and he'll plant eggs. And when he plants eggs, these eggs will eventually begin to inflame and infect his nasal cavities. And all of a sudden, the sheep will get extremely restless and extremely disturbed. And most shepherds and most scholars of this subject will say that what will happen is they'll do one of two things. They'll either find a tree, and when they find that tree, they'll take their head and they'll start beating it against the trunk of the tree. Why? Because they're in so much turmoil with these inflammation and infection from these eggs that they do anything to get relief. But also, if they can't find a tree, here's what they do. They'll take their head and they'll start burying it in the ground, and they'll start rubbing their head back and forth, trying to find relief from these flies. Now, what that pictures for you and I is simply this. When you and I get in despair and discouragement and get in weakness, and we think that God can't do anything in us, and we think that we're not usable by God, or we start having these doubts that come in our mind. How many agree? Even when you're resting in the Lord, you're open to attack. And all of a sudden now, what happens? We start getting restless. And when we start getting restless, here's what we do. Now, are y'all listening? Say amen.
Amen.
This will help you. We react instead of wait.
Yeah.
And that's what happens to these sheep. They react and they start beating their heads against these trees or rubbing their heads across the ground. And instead of waiting upon the Lord to give them revelation, instead of waiting upon the Lord to give them relief, they react to the situation. And what happens is the consequences become self-inflicted. These larvae within that mucus of that sheep's nose will not kill them. But I want to tell you something, beating their head against the tree will kill them. And so what happens is we end up entering into circumstances by self-affliction because we are so disturbed and restless. But can I tell you today, here's the remedy in which the shepherd has. He takes his flask. He takes oil out of his flask. And when he takes oil out of his flask, here's what he does. He begins to rub the head of that sheep with that oil. And when he rubs the head of that sheep with that oil, let me tell you something. It protects the sheep from those flies. And those flies won't get near the head of that sheep anymore. And it'll also heal. He'll take the oil and he'll literally put it up in their nostrils. And it'll kill those eggs and it'll kill that larvae. And here's what'll take place. All of a sudden now, the sheep who is restless, beating their head against the tree, trying to find rest, trying to find peace, trying to struggle to find it. And all of a sudden, the shepherd will come along with the oil, picture of the Holy Spirit in our life. And what do you find? The Spirit of God is all I need in my restlessness.
Yeah. Amen.
He's all I need. He gives me revelation. He gives me understanding. He works peace through me. He works that in me that now I can find rest for my soul, even in the midst of my circumstances.
Amen.
There's a second thing that takes place with these sheep. It's what I call problematic iniquities. You say, what do you mean? Well, there's a disease that a sheep can get. Shepherds call it scabs disease. That's literally what they call it. And you say, why do they use that term scabs disease? Well, this comes from very microscopic parasites. And what will happen is these parasites will get under the wool of the sheep. And he'll begin to, almost like, y'all know what a tick is? You know what a tick gets in your skin? It digs in within the skin. That's what these parasites do. It'll literally dig within the skin. And what will happen is it'll cause scabs and sores to come up across their skin. Now, here's what's so deceptive about this scab disease. Number one, it's not easily detected because it's under the wool. And only when a shepherd sees the unrest of the sheep will the shepherd even begin to pull back the wool to see if this sheep is infected by this. But here's the other thing about this scab disease. It's extremely contagious. One sheep can infect a whole flock. Now, what's this a picture of? You and I stepping into sin. And when you and I step into sin, can I tell you what's going to happen? You're going to get unrest. You're going to get restless. You say, why am I going to get restless? Well, I want to tell you something. I said this to early service. I want to say it to y'all. If you can step in sin and stay at rest, you don't know God. You don't know Him. Because the Spirit of God, listen, I tell people all the time, we always sing this song, sweet, sweet Holy Spirit. I want to tell you something. Sometimes He's not so sweet. Sometimes He beats the daylights out of me. Y'all say amen. Hey, I want to tell you something. The Spirit of God convicts of truth, reminds of truth, enables to obey truth. The Spirit of God reveals truth, manifests truth, gives us wisdom to understand truth. And can I tell you what? Sometimes when I open up the truth and I look in the truth, I tell you what I find. I find a mirror and it shows me who I am. Amen. And so I step out in sin. I get restless. What's the Spirit of God do? He shows me my sin. And when He shows me my sin, if I'm restless enough, if I'm desperate enough, I'll finally be open to confess it for what it is. And when I do that, can I tell you what it's like? It's like a sheep having that scab's disease, and he runs to his shepherd for help. Can I tell you what the shepherd does? He pulls out that flask again with that oil. This time, not just his head, but his whole body he anoints. And when he does that, it kills these microscopic parasites. And the sheep begin to get relief. Let me tell you something today, folks. We've coined today in America, repentance is a bad word. I got news for you. It's the most biblical word you can find. I mean, we live in a day today, people don't want to hear the blood. That's offensive. Well, bless their hearts. Amen? If they got saved, it wouldn't be offensive because they get washed in it. Amen? I mean, we think repentance is a bad word. I mean, we think holiness is a bad word. I got news for you today. God saved you by the blood. He saved you to daily, moment by moment, repent. And He saved you that you and I could be holy and walk in His holiness. And so when I come to the place of seeing my sin, I come and the Spirit of God's showing me. The Spirit of God give me wisdom. And all of a sudden now I see what God sees about me. And I come clean. And when I come clean, the Spirit of God takes away the conviction. Gives me the oil to my soul. And all of a sudden now, what happens? The unrest is now replaced back with the peace that I had when God saved me. Amen. Y'all with me? Amen. Oh, listen. You and I need to understand this truth. You and I need to understand. I've said this before. Let me tell you who the most spiritual person in this church is, and I'm going to name them. Can y'all figure it out? The one that repents the most. That's who it is. Psalm 38, David was overwhelmed by his iniquities. And in his desperation, listen to what David said in Psalm 38:4, mine iniquities have gone over mine head. As a heavy burden, they are too heavy for me. Listen. For us that have the Spirit of God, I want you to hear me. When you sin, you can't get away with it. Because the Spirit of God will make it heavy upon you until you let Him deal with it. Y'all with me? Say amen. Let's look at the third thing. The third thing, painful infections. Now, what this is this journey to these tablelands, this journey to these high mountain meadows. It's a very rugged journey. Matter of fact, it's a very rocky journey, very rugged journey. And what will happen is along the way, the sheep sometimes going around cliffs of these mountains may scrape their side or their leg up on a rock, and it'll cause a scar or a cut in their skin. And what happens is if it's not dealt with, it can turn into infection. And when it turns into infection, it can get in their bloodstream. And all of a sudden, they can get in very much trouble quickly. It can shut down the respiratory system. It can do much internal damage to a sheep. And so a shepherd watches his sheep closely. Sometimes, y'all remember I've told you before, sheep are stubborn. Amen. And you say, well, preacher, you're calling us a sheep. No, I didn't. God did. Amen. I'm one too. Y'all say amen. Amen. We're all stubborn from time to time. And sometimes we get stiff-necked in the means. We wander off from our shepherd. And sometimes when a sheep wanders off from a shepherd, he'll get in a briar thicket. And the shepherd will have to go find him and pull him out. But how many agree, if he got in a briar thicket, even when the shepherd pulls him out, there's going to be marks that prove where he was. And so this, what does the shepherd do? Well, he takes his oil and he places it on the cut. And when he places it on the cut, slowly, it begins to heal. So what do these represent in our lives? They represent two things. First thing is hurts. How many of you ever got wounded by somebody else? How many of you ever had somebody stick their briar in your side or in your back? I was telling the early service, if I had a dollar for every time I was talking to somebody and they'll say, preacher, I don't go to church because I was in a church and they did this to me and I'll never go back to church again. Wounded. Let me tell you what will happen when you're wounded and you don't let the Spirit of God deal with it in your life. It'll turn into bitterness. And when it turns into bitterness, here's what's going to happen. It's going to grip your heart. And it'll send you in a tailspin. And you'll start losing your focus. You'll start losing your fellowship with God. And all of a sudden, your focus and your attention will be on your bitterness and up on that individual instead of up on the Lord and what He's done for you and what He's doing in you. And all of a sudden, it'll start causing you to walk back and back and back and back. But aren't you glad today that when we're wounded, we have a balm in Gilead? Aren't you glad that when we're wounded, that you and I have the person of the Holy Spirit that can come along and remind us that God showed us mercy and grace? Aren't you glad that when we're wounded, you have the Spirit of God that can remind you that nobody can do anything to you worse than what you've done to God? Aren't you glad today that you have this Holy Spirit that reminds you that not only have you experienced His grace and mercy, but God is enabling you to show grace and mercy towards others? Amen. And so the Spirit of God, the oil of the Spirit, begins to bind up those wounds by showing you truth about what God's done for you and what God's doing in you. But there's another aspect of these wounds. We find this in 1 John, in the same passage, as a matter of fact, of 1 John 2, where it says the anointing abides within. Here's what it says. It says that you and I can be infected by false teachers. And so many times what we'll do is give our ears to every little wind of doctrine that comes along. And how do we have protection in this? Because I want to tell you something. It will infect you quickly. All of a sudden, you'll begin to think wrongly about the Scriptures. You'll begin to think wrongly about the Lord. Can I tell you today, we live in a day today. And I'm going to make this statement. Y'all going to love me? Say amen. Amen. You say, preacher, I'm visiting. I don't know you yet. You got to love me anyway. The Bible says you even got to love your enemies. Y'all say amen. All right, so listen to me. Here's what I'm trying to say to you. We live in a day today where truth has become heresy and heresy's become truth. What is our protection in this? I mean, how do I keep from being blown away by every little wind of doctrine that comes along? I want to tell you how. The Spirit of God reveals truth. The Spirit of God helps you in truth. The Spirit of God enables you in truth. And here's what happens. You'll sit as the Spirit of God fills your life. You'll sit under teaching or preaching, and all of a sudden they'll say something. The Spirit of God will well up within you and go, no, no, no. Sometimes you'll be sitting under teaching and preaching. Spirit of God will open you. Yes, yes, yes. Amen. Let me tell you something. That's the Spirit of God protecting you. That's the Spirit of God trying to help you, trying to guide you into truth, and trying to guide you away from error.
Amen.
The oil of the shepherd. Well, let me show you thirdly in closing. The standing that reflects anointing. You say, what do you mean by standing? 2 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 21 and 22. Listen to what it says. Now he which established us with you in Christ. What does that mean? He that has established you. He that has set you. He that makes you stand in Christ. Let me ask you a question. When God saved you, is your feet on firm foundation? Absolutely. Who put you there? Well, you were born of the Spirit. The Spirit birthed you. And the Spirit birthed you and the Spirit baptized you into Christ. What does that mean? He's immersed you into the person of the Lord Jesus. So you stand in Him. Now watch what the verse goes on to say. It says, you established us with you in Christ and hath anointed us, is God, who hath sealed us and given us the earnest of the Spirit in our hearts. So what is our standing? There is four things, or four individuals, three individuals, one thing that was anointed in the Old Testament. And all four of these picture not only Christ, but picture you and I in Christ. Now, I'm going to make this statement. Now, y'all going to love me? Say amen.
Amen.
I have people all the time come to me and say, hey, you know, listen, these people are doing this. Can we anoint them with oil? Well, can I tell you, if these four things aren't true, that's the only biblical basis for anointing.
Yeah. Okay.
First thing, priest. You have a standing of a priest. When God set aside the Levitical priesthood, every time a male of the tribe of Levi would get of age to serve his priestly duty, the first thing they would do is anoint him before God. And you say, why? Because the picture was that God has set them aside unto himself as a holy vessel for service. And they'd be anointed. And you say, well, preacher, I'm not a Levitical priesthood. No, but can I tell you, in the New Covenant, the Bible says you became priests. You say, where's that at? It's found in Romans chapter 1. He says he's made you kings and what? Priests. You say, what do you mean, preacher? I thought Christ was my high priest. Hey, can I tell you, aren't you glad we have a high priest in heaven?
Amen.
But listen to what I'm about to say. You are seated in heavenly places, in Christ Jesus. So whatever He is true of you and I.
Right.
He is our high priest before God. But as Him saving us, we become priests upon this earth for Him who is our high priest. You say, what does that mean? That means that you are vessels through which God wants to show the world who He is. Let me ask you a question. In the Old Testament, when Israel saw a priest that was over the temple or the tabernacle, what did they see about that priest that was so unique? How many agree they saw the character, the holiness of God? You say, why is that? Well, I'll just tell you this. If they wasn't holy, when they went in the Holy of Holies, they wouldn't come out. They'd be struck dead. Isn't that right? And so God used these men as vessels to show what holiness would look like. So that's what God does for you and I. He lets us get in on His perfect will and perfect plan for this world. Leviticus 21:12, talking about this, the criteria of the priesthood. He said, neither shall he go out of the sanctuary nor profane the sanctuary of his God, for the crown of the anointing oil of his God is upon him, and I am the Lord. What does that mean? Hey, can I tell you, as priest, you can't defile yourself with this world. And when you do, can I tell you what? You're not only sinning against God, you are. All sin is against God. But let me tell you something. You're also sinning against what God has made you. A priest. Here's a priest, okay? Have a need. Have a provision. What does a priest do? Bring the two together. How many agree in the Old Testament Israel couldn't come to God but through the high priest? Need, provision. Bring the two together. So guess what? The Bible says we've been entrusted with the gospel. Why is that important? Does the world need the gospel? Is the gospel the provision? So what do? Bring them together. Secondly, not only the standing of a priest, but the standing of a potentate. And you say, what in the world is that? Well, that's just a fancy word for king. So the Bible says you became priest and king. What does that mean? Well, how many agree today that if you're saved, you have the King of Kings living in you? So if you have the King of Kings living in you, then guess what? That means that you and I can go about in obeying God and walking in the will and ways of God in the authority of God. Because listen, it wasn't you that called yourself, it was God that called you. It wasn't you that sent yourself, it was God that sent you. And here's the picture. Y'all remember in the book of Nehemiah? You remember Nehemiah went to the king and said, hey, king, listen, we got a problem. The king said, what's the problem? He said, the walls are torn down, and I got to go repair the walls. I've been fasting and praying. I even confessed my sin along with the sin of Israel. And God's called me. I've got to go, king. I've got to go. And the king says, if you're going to go, let me help you. He said, what do you mean help me? He said, here's what I'm going to do. He took his signet ring off his hand. And when he took his signet ring off his hand, he put his signet ring on the hand of Nehemiah. And he said, now, wherever you go, here's all the authority and power you need to go. And everywhere Nehemiah went, here's what the signet ring was. It was what sealed a decree from the king. And if anybody went against the decree of a king, how many agree? They did it against their own lives. And here's what King does. He gave this signet ring to Nehemiah. He said, wherever you go, he said, you just imprint this in whatever decree you need, whatever materials you need. He said, I am standing with you, and you're going in the authority of the king. Amen. And you and I go in the authority of the king.
Right. Amen.
Adrian Rogers, years ago, did a study called Kingdom Authority. Awesome study. And it was all about what it meant to be a king. Thirdly, the standing of a prophet. Prophets were anointed in the Old Testament. Now you have to understand from the standpoint of Old Testament versus New Covenant. A prophet in the Old Testament spoke of things that had not yet been penned in Scripture. You and I are to herald truth like a prophet. But we herald truth that God's already penned. But how many of you agree there's a lot of truth that hadn't happened yet that's still in this Word? Can I tell you, every time you go to somebody and say, can I tell you something? If you don't allow God to save you, your end is going to be separation from God in an eternal lake of fire. That's prophetic. But it's been penned. Can I tell you, Jesus is coming back one day. That's prophetic, but it's been penned. So you and I are called to proclaim truth. And God has enabled you, set you apart to proclaim this truth. Isaiah 43:21, the people have I formed for myself. They shall show forth my what? Praise. Lastly, the standing of purity. I told you there was three individuals and one thing that was anointed. What are these things? Every vessel, every cup, every saucer, every article of furniture that was utilized inside the temple or inside the tabernacle was anointed by God. And it was anointed for this purpose. Exodus 30, verse 31. And thou shalt speak unto the children of Israel, saying, this shall be the holy anointing oil unto me throughout your generation. So what was this oil? It was holy. So when they would anoint these articles of the tabernacle, here's what they were saying. These vessels are set aside unto God as holy vessels to be used for nothing else than that in worshiping and serving our Lord. 2 Corinthians chapter 4. Here's what it says. Do you not know that there's a treasure in earthen vessels? You know what the word vessel means there? An old clay pot. Do you understand? You and I without God are nothing but a clay pot. But God deposited a treasure in that clay pot. You say, what's the treasure? His presence.
Right. Amen.
And you and I now become holy vessels. Why? Because the holy God took his residence. And you and I become holy vessels, set apart to him and for him alone. Listen to what I'm about to say. If you think that God will share you with this world, you are deceived. We serve a jealous God. The Bible says, be ye holy as I am what? God said that. So now I want to ask you a question. Circumstances got a hold of you? Starting to affect the way you think? Starting to cause you to be unrest? Can I encourage you today, if you're saved, the Spirit of God is the oil that'll bring rest. If you stepped out in sin, and you know it because you're so restless, your fellowship with God is not what you know it needs to be, not what it was. Can I encourage you today that the Spirit of God show you if you'll just ask Him, God, why am I unrestful? Can I tell you what the Spirit of God will do? He'll take you to the Word, and when He gives you the Word, He'll put a finger on what it is. Hey, for Willie today, it was lostness. For Jay, that Tuesday, it was lostness. For me, that day on the back hood of my car, it was lostness. But can I tell you, sometimes, now that I'm saved, sometimes God puts His finger on pride. Sometimes God puts His finger on selfish motives. But here's the truth. Here's your oil. If we confess our sins, He is faithful and just to what? Forgive us and what? Cleanse us of all unrighteousness. Maybe you've been hurt. Maybe it's been family. Maybe it's been friends. Maybe it's been coworkers. And that bitterness, you just sense it in your heart. You said with your lips, I forgive them. But then you get around them, you do everything to escape them. Y'all say amen. You see them at the gas pump, and your red lights come on. You try to make it to the next gas station. Y'all say amen. That's not forgiveness, folks. How are we to forgive others? In the same way He forgave us. How did He forgive us? In spite of us.
That's right.
You're a priest. You're a prophet. You're a king. You're a holy vessel. But are we walking as it? Are we walking as it? You may be here today and God's speaking to your heart like He spoke to Willie's heart earlier. You obey Him. But you may be here today and you're saved.
You've been resting in the vast meadows of the mountains. But just lately, the world and the flesh has come against you. And you just need the work of the Holy Spirit to show you, to encourage you, to help you. Can I tell you today? He's enough.
Amen.
He's enough. Father, thank you for our shepherd, you being our shepherd. Thank you. That Father, not only do we serve a good shepherd and a great shepherd, but your word says we serve a chief shepherd. Father, we all get out of sorts from time to time. But Father, every time, if your spirit lives within us, you show us, you help us. And Father, but you don't force this all upon us. We've got to get desperate enough. We've got to get restless enough. And when we get to that place, then we're open for you to speak to us. And then we're open to say yes, whatever it takes. Whatever it takes.